Hey, Rabbi Brian in post-production. This post-production part only comes out of one ear. Sorry about that. Service was pretty cool. Glad you could join. October 3rd.
Wow.
I'm Rabbi Brian. Yes, it's amazing that it's October already because it was just March 23 years ago. I'm going to say hello to everyone who's... guys who are on Zoom are talking, the people who are on Facebook and on YouTube should be able to hear you as well. And we did find out from the Saturday service, finally, there's somebody's microphone was hot, and I don't know how many of you were there when we all heard somebody say, "Stop being such a dick." It was a lovely moment in online
service.
I found out afterwards that it was a person talking to their dog. So I don't know if that makes it. Somehow for me that made it feel a little less obnoxious that they were calling their dog a dick as opposed to a person. Does that make it sound any better to any of you? I feel like I'm doing a little bit. Thank you, Kip, for your vote. Oh, hi, Hannah. Hi, Jeff, Marcus, Candace, John Burns, and Ann Mayer, who I've just been emailing with. I was emailing because I saw somebody join the mailing list named Ann Mayer, and as you all know, my daughter's name is Annie, so I thought, that's a little odd. So, Ann, glad you're here for the first time, and anyone else who's just joining us. Oh, hi, Rita, and wow, Janice, everyone who's here, welcome. I'm going to do this thing. I don't know how many of you are practiced at this. This is an old religious spiritual concept. It's called breathing. You guys familiar with doing that these days? Okay,
no.
So it kind of goes like this. I don't want to bog you down with too many details. So we're just going to do half of it today. We're just going to focus on exhale. Next week, maybe, if you get that down, we'll move on and we'll do the inhales as well. But as of right now, we're just going to practice exhale. So if everyone would do that, just take a little bit of air out. Don't pay any attention about the inhales. That will be for next week. And just to just have a little bit of notice the air going out. And just if you do it right when you do the exhale, you'll notice you sink a little into your body. And that's the goal. Again, just exhales for this week only. All right, folks, how did we do on the homework? Show of hands, how many of you did the homework? Oh, this is awkward. Okay, there was absolutely no hands whatsoever. That is because it was surprise homework. The homework was, I arranged with the universe to give you a homework assignment over the last week. And whether you heard me give it to you or not, the homework assignment was the same. And the homework assignment was try to accept reality as it is. Try to accept reality as it is. How many of you, now that I mention what the homework was, remember that you actually have been doing the homework all along? The homework was trying to accept reality as it is. How many of you had... how many of you by mistake got like the AP version, got the higher level course than you were prepared for? How many of you in the last week had you got the wrong test. The acceptance was much harder than it should have been. I apologize, Gord, Kip, Brian, Meg. Oh my gosh, it looks like a lot of people got way more that they had to accept than they were planning on. Wow. Okay. Did anyone have, again, I apologize for that. Organized religion is not as organized as one might think. How many of you had an easy time this last week with accepting the world as it is?
It a what?
Oh man, that's a really quiet, that's a really quiet group right now. So what gives? What are we to do here? There's that great quote. I know you guys, a lot of you might have heard me use it in the past. It's a quote from Byron Katie, who said, when you argue with reality, you lose. But wait, dang it. Somebody who remembers me quoting this quote. Who
only 100% of the time.
Somebody help me out.
Only 100% of the time.
I'm having absolutely no audio coming back from you guys. What's going on here? Oh, no.
You're deaf.
You fixed
Hello?
It.
Hello?
I can hear absolutely Hello? Nothing
oh,
going
no.
on
can you
on
hear
my
you
own
now?
Service. This is awkward as AF.
I'll put it in the chat.
Alex,
hear
you got anything for me?
I
you
hear
can
everyone.
Hear each other.
Yeah.
I can hear absolutely
I hear
nothing.
You,
have,
well, this is
you don't have your engine.
Oh, I see what happened. Hold on. Y'all there again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's funny.
Did you mute your computer, Rabbi?
Was it your speaker?
It changed speakers. Let me see what happens again.
Oh, okay.
Now I can still hear you. Okay, there we are. I don't know. Somehow the speaker setting got changed.
Speaker got switched, yeah.
Yes, speaker got switched to my monitor, which doesn't have a speaker in it. Okay, so the question was the quote from Byron Katie about acceptance, when you argue with reality, you lose.
Only 100% of the time.
Yeah, only 100% of the time.
That's exactly it. I'm glad. When you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. So how many of you tried to argue with reality in the last week unsuccessfully? How many of you argued with reality last week unsuccessfully? It looks like just about everybody argued with reality at least once last week unsuccessfully.
Jesse has...
Okay, so
maybe the computer.
I'm getting a little extra audio. John Burns, we're gonna mute you for a second, because we're hearing more than we needed to. Anybody argue this week with reality and win? Oh, Carol Ox, talk to us. How did that happen?
It was the coronavirus.
You argued with the coronavirus and won.
Yes, it went to the right person.
So there's the rabbinic Facebook threads are filled up with okay, I will admit I had this Schadenfreude moments. I've had a few of them, and I had this like glee that broke out on my face, and then immediately thereafter there was this notion of Brian, you really shouldn't be in. You should not. And it's in Proverbs, not to rejoice in somebody's suffering, even if you don't like them.
Okay.
Go ahead, Carol.
But when he stood up and said, "Proud boys, stand back, but stand by."
Yeah.
I could see the brown shirts coming.
Yes.
And I got very scared. And so when I found out that he is going to be slowed down for a while, I said, okay, I couldn't stop him, but you can.
Oh, amen. So you didn't argue with reality. You gave it to someone bigger.
Yes. RBG is doing it up there. She's fine.
Yes.
That's what I understand. All right, Michael, what do you have, my friend?
Well, I have, I think I was dealing with it like everybody else with all the fantasies I've had up until this point. But I came up with this this idea with a friend, compassion or silence.
Oh,
or compassion or silence.
Compassion or silence.
Or compassion or silence.
I don't understand the distinction that you're
making.
Well,
in terms of responding to or respond, feel, perceive reality.
Of compassion or silence.
Of the current situation, which is always transforming. We are in a constant transformation here. This is why we're talking about forgiveness, right, today?
We did forgiveness last week. We can
last week we did forgiveness?
I thought we finished it.
never finished it.
I did have.
You're still in acceptance. I'm forgiveness.
So we did talk a bit about forgiveness last week, and I did email this little certificate out to people.
That's it.
How many?
That's
needed it, eh? The yeah. One valid share of absolution. How many of you required this still?
Oh yeah.
If you were God, it would work. But sorry.
So I'll read you what the small print on the absolution says, and the small print on the absolution says that this represents one valid share of absolution, which has been distributed to the shareholder. In consideration, the shareholder has agreed to relinquish a majority share of guilt. So as so long as you give up the guilt about the thing that you did wrong, then you can have absolution, which of course is ironic because then you don't need the certificate at all.
Well, we should talk about transformation then.
You've hit already in talking, Michael, you've hit transformation and
forgiveness.
Let's just do a quick little recap for everybody. Some notions of a spiritual religious life include the following. Transformation is one of them. What are the other qualities that we know of that that are part of a spiritual religious life? Transformation and
hierarchy of values.
That a spiritual life has a hierarchy of values, that we know that compassion is more is a higher value than laughter at somebody's expense. Absolutely. Somebody else, what's a spiritual value that we haven't mentioned yet?
Question. It's about you, but also about everybody, yeah. But also about you.
So this is a two-in-one, that a spiritual life, we know it's not about us. And in a spiritual life, we know it's about others. And we know that it's a both and, that a spiritual life is both and. It's not just one or the other. It's both and. I heard another one that somebody said.
Questioning.
Question. A spiritual value is all about questioning, about knowing that questions are more important than answers, that understanding is not where it's at. It's about not understanding how things happen and why things happen. We want to know, but we can't. I have 1, 2, 3, 3.5, 4.
Mystery.
That there's mystery, and there's some sense that there's something bigger, there's something infinite, there's something that connects us all. I was talking with a bat mitzvah kid yesterday, and we were talking about this idea of mystery and wonder, and that the half-life of mystery and wonder is far shorter than the half-life of shame.
Mm.
Right.
What does that mean?
That the kid and I were outside and we saw these tiny little worms, like tiny rice-sized worms that seemed to have been floating in the air. And there was some kind of silk thread we could hardly even see that was there. And it was just awesome, like that real sense of wow and the sense of woo. But the wonder quickly fades. As opposed to shame, where somebody says something that shames you or you feel shamed about something, the half-life, the amount of time that it takes for the shame to dissipate is really long.
Why is
that? And why is that? Thank you, Sherry. What is the answer to that? Why does wonder last less long than shame and other things? I don't think we have an answer to that one. Do you have an answer, Sherry?
No. The human condition. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect. It's just how we are built, and you have a choice. You can either accept that or not.
Shame is personal.
Shame is personal. Shame
wonder is somebody or something else.
So wonder is outside of ourselves and shame is within ourselves. That might be I love that, mm-hmm. Rob. I think that gives us a good hint.
Dude, that's deep.
Why one holds on longer than the other. Because at least shame, at least it's about me.
We've been wondering about you.
Thank you, Rob. Rob, we're going to have a musical interlude later. So I thought of you when I got that prepared.
Okay.
All right. I want to tell a story today. I want to tell a story. It's a story of Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
Show of hands, how many of you have a very, like, you know about this much about Jonah.
Whale.
Yeah, Jonah and a whale. You remember the part that there was a whale?
Yes.
So let me tell you the story about Jonah. And it's traditionally...
He cried so hard.
I didn't understand, Rob.
He wailed.
Oh, he wailed.
Cried okay. so hard.
I was trying to make a woof in the whale joke, but that wasn't going anywhere either. Let me tell you the biblical story of Jonah. So the story of Jonah is that God says to Jonah, the son of Amittai, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city. And Nineveh at the time was like New York. It was the biggest place. It was metropolis. And Jonah, I point out, was the son of Amittai. Jonah doesn't have a huge lineage. He's not Jonah, the son of Amittai, the son of Shmekel, the son of whoever. He's just Jonah, the son of Amittai. He's a nobody. And God's voice comes to him and says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and I want you to tell them this. And Jonah says, oh, you want me to go to Nineveh? And the first thing Jonah does is goes on a boat the opposite way. And I refer to this sometimes as SHOP, Standard Human Operating Procedure. That you get a call from God that says, I want you to do this. And you say, no way, I'm doing the opposite. So he goes the other way. Jonah goes towards Tarshish, which we'll get to. Paul will later be there. He goes towards Tarshish, and that's when this great storm erupts over the waters. And there's this great storm, and the sailors try to figure out why is there this great storm, and Jonah's asleep in the bottom of the ship. And Jonah realizes the reason there's this great storm, the problems that are happening are because of me, Jonah realizes. So Jonah throws himself overboard to save everyone on the ship. He thinks, like, why should they suffer because of my problem? So Jonah jumps overboard, and that's when the giant fish swallows him up and brings him down, down, down to the very bottom of the ocean. And it's there at the, I mean, if you want to think about a bottom, there he is at the bottom of the ocean inside a fish. And at that point, Jonah says beautiful prayer, where Jonah says, it's a prayer of just being present. It's not, hey, God, help me out of here. It's just Jonah saying, this is where I find myself right now. And then the fish spits Jonah up right where he was supposed to go at Nineveh. Jonah does the thing he was supposed to do at Nineveh. It goes ridiculously easy. And the story pretty much ends there.
Alma, wow, you left a lot out.
I did leave a lot out.
But... That's perfect. That's perfect.
Thank you.
I like the last bit, very end bit.
Alma, we can talk about the very end part, but it would lead us. The very end of the story is kind of a head scratcher. So let's just go with the main thrust of the story for now. Thank you for calling me out on that. Here's a question. How many of you, when you hear the story about Jonah, and Jonah has this thing that he's supposed to be doing.
Ooh, yeah.
And he doesn't do that thing he's supposed to be doing. And he winds up inconveniencing people around him. And he winds up inconveniencing himself a lot. Only to find out that the thing that he was supposed to do wasn't that hard to do in the first place. Does this sound somewhat familiar, or something like this is a story for all times? This has happened to people who are, yes? Let me. And about yourself. And to tell the group, you know, there's this thing I'm kind of putting off. Not that you have to believe in a God / God but there's this thing, Oprah talks about it, that if you don't do what the universe asks you to do, first the universe pushes, first the universe whispers, then the universe nudges, then the universe is pushed, then the universe pushes, and finally the universe has no choice but to smack you around until you do the thing you're supposed to do. So I want you in the small groups, can everyone have at least one idea of something it is in their life that you're kind of putting off? And I, and you don't have to do the bad grammar. You can say kind of instead of kinda. Are there things, can people think for them?
Kid fluence.
Yeah, can I'm people sorry, think of
no, a no, 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 I'm just worried about holding up the line.
Uh-oh, hold on. Thank you, Amy. We muted you for a second because a little extra sound there. People, give me some kind of visual because I can see you. Some kind of visual. Would you have an answer as to something you're sort of putting off?
Nah.
No.
No?
No, absolutely.
Yes. That no was a yes. Okay, thank you for keeping it.
Yes, absolutely.
Good. All right.
That
so,
no was very a yes.
That's the big question.
Okay, so Alex, can you help to break us up into some, and as always, I want to thank folks, this service
I don't have rights to break you up.
All right, I'm going to break you up.
Rabbi, could you give us a few more minutes?
Yes, you're going to have a lot of time because I can't figure out how to make the breakout rooms work.
There you go.
Oh, you know what, guys? You're not going to breakout rooms after all.
Well,
you have to turn on breakout rooms.
Not meant to be.
Yeah, you have to turn it on for the meeting.
Oh, wait, there we go. Aha, you are going to breakout rooms.
I win. Woo!
So for those of you who needed another moment to figure out.
Your moment's over.
All right. Alex, is that working at all or no?
Okay, now I see breakout rooms.
Okay, can you start scooching people to breakout rooms?
I can do that.
So again, folks, the goal is in the breakout room to say, I am sort of like Jonah in that here's something that I have been putting off. You don't have to name the thing if that would make you feel awkward. And also hi to my Aunt Ellen, who's joined. She said she would be back in the fall, and there she is. So hi, Ellen. Glad to see you.
I don't have rights to put people in them.
Okay, I don't either. Okay, so you know what we're going to do? I have this great idea. We're going to do a giant breakout room.
This is
improv.
It.
Yeah.
That freaks me up.
This is why I took improv. Okay.
You say that breaking up is hard to do.
Okay, hold on. This is not working.
Just dig it.
All right, so now that we are in our small breakout room, does anyone have a right off the bat something they want to share? Here's something that I'm kind of putting off. Hannah, yes, my friend, what is something?
I need to have a conversation with a very old friend of mine about something that's broken in our relationship, and it's been broken for a while, and the more I put it off, the angrier I get, and the less I want to speak with her, and so now our relationship is pretty much non-existent.
Okay.
And so I've been putting off actually saying to her, hey, something is wrong here, and we need to fix it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds so. Thank you, Hannah. And I forgot one piece of this. In thinking about these things, the things that we know that we ought to do that we haven't done. Now, you all said you have some experience having done this. Do all of you have the same experience that Jonah and I have had, where when you actually do the thing that you were supposed to do, it goes much easier and everything's... I'm seeing some nods already. I haven't even finished the sentence. But yes, it goes much easier once you actually do the thing.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And I think one of the joys about getting older and getting wiser is that we should start to see the pattern of, you know, let me just do that thing because I'm going to have to apologize to my mother sometime anyhow, so let me do it now. That's hyper. That was a mom. If there's something I need to apologize for, please tell me. That was just a Boy, that was a Freudian thing. I don't know why I said that. Okay, this is a really large group to tell this joke, but it's really funny. And it, how many Freudian... I can't believe I'm going to tell this to an entire group of people. We're not broadcasting this one. Okay, how many Freudians does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
Two. One to hold the light bulb, the other one to hold the penis. I mean father. I mean lad. I liked it because it has double punchline. It's one of my favorite jokes for that. Okay, so we all know, coming back, we all know that when we do the thing, Hannah, do you have some confidence that when you do this thing that you know you need to do, it will go much faster and easier, and then things can get resolved? Modicum, then it won't be on your plate anymore, at least.
I guess it's more of that. At least I did the thing that I needed to do.
Yeah. Well, we
I don't know if it will. Yeah. So I guess in that way, I don't know if I am Jonah and the whale, but, okay. I am definitely not going to the city. I should be going to.
Okay. You're definitely not going to the city. And if you, maybe you can report back to us next time.
Yes.
Okay. But now
I get to make that my homework, Rabbi.
See, now we see what we did there was we just said, now you have to get it done within a week. You don't really, right?
Yeah.
Nobody has to listen to a thing I say, right? You do what you want. You got some free will. Who else has got a thing that you kind of know that if you say it out loud, it will force you to get to do it, and you kind of want to hold yourself accountable in that way? Someone else have a thing that you're kind of putting off? Yeah, Joy, what do you have?
Well, I've been putting off for 3 years the fact that I've got to really sell this house and move to something smaller. And because now I've had to give up driving, it's become more necessary.
Yeah.
And I need really to move into Lerwick. But I'm still partly fighting it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to leave the house I'm in.
Amen.
Which is difficult.
It is.
I have a similar thing. I'm helping my mother here for 6 months. I live in Santa Monica, and over the pull between the two of when to leave, how to leave, what to leave behind is profound. One other thing I want to say is, the interesting thing about one of the interesting things about the story is the transformation part of it. Jonah's always changing, so it seems to me. Mm-hmm. And he knows it because he's a prophet. So he knows what transformation is. And as you said, it's so ephemeral. It goes so fast. So he knows the outcome before he does it. And and therefore, he has to get into this dialogue with the God of his own understanding, so to speak, as you would say. And this God of his own understanding points him always back to his anger and how much he loves his anger. Because the Hebrew word is not, why is your anger so big? The Hebrew, when you look at it, is, why is your anger so delicious?
Oh, ooh, I love it.
That unbelievable. That's just in the Hebrew. So I appreciate you bringing this up, Rabbi. Thank you.
Yeah. And for those of you who are moving, you have until next week to do that as well.
That's great. You get a second. No, you get to become a fish.
Right. Anyone else have one before we move on? Yes, Sherry, what do you have?
The Yom Kippur story.
Yeah.
Right?
This is usually told on Yom Kippur. Yeah, this is usually a story told on the Day of Atonement.
Right. So what is the significance?
Why is this a story that's told on the day where we're asking for absolution? Why would this be a story? That's a great question. I'll let everyone think for a moment.
Acceptance.
It's about acceptance. Okay. Maybe it's the things that if the idea of the Day of Atonement is that we have to atone for all the things we did between us and other people, but the Day of Atonement is between us and God, maybe we have to atone for all the things that God has been telling us to do that we're not doing when we haven't.
It's also that you have to get to the bottom before you can really start to atone. He is in the inside of fish in the bottom of the sea.
Yeah.
Right. down deep.
Right. The only way to come up is to get to the bottom and then start up again.
The Ninevites were forgiven, even though they're described as basically unforgivable.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's that amazing hope that Jonah hates, but whatever.
But it's also universal because yeah. Nineveh is this big city and there's all kinds of people with all kinds of beliefs in it.
Okay. Not only people, but all the cattle.
Right.
This is all their animals. I love
so that. So this is a funny little part of the story is that in the ancient world, you would put on a sackcloth and ashes to show your repentance, your mourning. And not only did the people of Nineveh repent and put on sackcloth and ashes, but their cattle did as well.
On cows.
Well, we assume they put the sackcloth on the cows. I don't think the cows put it on themselves. But even the cattle were part of that's how, and that was what Jonah came to tell the city to do. Jonah was told to say to Nineveh, the great city, can you imagine being given the message, go to New York City and tell them, y'all aren't behaving properly. How many of you would book the first flight to JFK and how many of you would go to Honolulu? Honolulu.
Aloha.
Definitely.
Honolulu sounds better.
I'm going to move us to a quote. Alex is going to put it into the chat. This is, this is one of my favorite quotes. It's from Rainier Maria Rilke. And I'm trying to find where I left my Zoom in feature. There it is. I'm going to zoom in a little bit. It says, be patient towards everything unresolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not seek the answers which cannot be given to you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Be patient towards everything that is unresolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves like locked room and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not seek the answers which could not be given to you because you would not be able to understand them. And the point is to live everything. Nikki, you literally were scratching your head on that one, so I have to call and see what are your thoughts?
No, I was scratching my head because it makes me realize that there are things in my life that forgiveness just isn't possible. So you have to live what you're feeling. And the forgiveness for me is forgiveness of myself.
Yeah.
And letting go of what's there. And it's not important that some things you just can't solve. And you have to accept that.
Yeah.
Right.
That we can't understand everything. And the things that we can't understand, we have to just not understand.
Except the mystery.
John Burns, you were saying something. Say it again, would you?
Well, I've just come. You may remember, Rabbi, that I received one of the first absolution certificates from you being ex-Catholic.
I don't remember and, that.
I'm basically going through a surrender right now, and I've realized that I've just really just became pragmatic. I've decided, what do I need for myself from this concept of God? And I'm sticking with that. I take my sins, my defects, and as someone said, I've hit that bottom, that, and for that surrender to occur. And all the other things that cloud the issue, that I have emotional rejection, put them aside. As one of the pastors I heard say once on the radio, we have to suspend our disbelief. It doesn't mean we try to get rid of it. We just put it over there in a bubble. And when it comes to cloud what I really need from God, which is forgiveness, I just flick my thumb and the bubble goes back a little higher and away from my thoughts. So it's really working. I need a, you know, as a Christian perspective, I need a savior. I'm taking that.
Mm.
I don't understand it. I'm not God. That's a big point to start from.
Yeah.
So it's working. And I'm 72 years old. It's a little late in life to be finally realizing that surrender really is not getting the answers. It's accepting the situation. As you said,
I love how you just said that. Surrender isn't, yeah. Say that again, John, would you?
Well, surrender isn't understanding, getting the answers that we really want to know. You know, we want to know. It's about recognizing my reality that I'm just a speck of a sand as a human. And I better decide what's my reality. And my reality is I've failed at many things, and I need forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking the Savior thing without all the baggage. And when I say the baggage, dogmas, doctrines.
We got you.
Yeah, I this is excellent. So
how many of you give a wave or if what John's rapping you can get down to? I think that was beautifully said, John. Beautifully said. Anyone have another thought on what is the thing you're not so patient with, and if you could just be patient with that thing and let it sit over there and you didn't have to mess. I think of it this way, of you ever have a cut on your finger and you put a Band-Aid over the cut, and if you keep looking under the Band-Aid to see when it's healed, you're not going to help the healing process. But if you just leave it alone. The other analogy I have for it is me doing the dishes. If there's some caked on stuff on a plate, I can either work my butt off right now trying to scrape it all off, or I can just let it sit in some soapy water for 10 minutes. And then it's a lot easier. Can mm-hmm. that... Anyone else want to weigh in on this quote? Try to be how it fits for you in your own life.
Very good. Joy has.
Go, Joy.
10 years ago, I had been away from the church for about 50 years. And there was a funeral of somebody that I knew well. And something happened in the church that day. I was at the funeral. And the only way I can describe it is the following week, which happened to be Holy Week, I had a battle with God saying, I'm not going up to church on Sunday. Why should I go up to Lowick on a Sunday? I go there every day of the week for work. I want to do other things on Sunday. And that following Sunday was Easter Sunday, and I was in church. And I've been there ever since. So that was something that where I had to give in the end.
So, good question, and it is a almost rhetorical question, but for how many of us does life just go better when we don't fight against the thing we know we need to do, or we don't fight against trying to find the answer when we don't have one?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, it's better for me.
Yeah. I think that's okay. So, we had homework for Hannah, and two of you need to move by next week, and then everyone else. Your homework is to just not to master letting go of the things you can't understand, and not to be perfect at leaving the problems that you can't solve, but just to get better at it.
Right.
Can we all practice that for the next week? Just practice getting a little bit better at being patient towards the things that are unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ricky's going to do the homework. Anyone else want to do the homework?
Yeah, I'll do the homework.
Okay, because we'll again, I conspired with the universe, and you're going to be getting tests.
Oh, pressure.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I love pop quizzes. They're my favorite.
I want to go
over. Are there going to be multiple choice?
It is multiple choice.
you give with one hand and take with the other.
And you guys, you all know, like the point of the newsletter being 77% weekly, being 40 out of 52 weeks a year, is to remember that life is pass fail. There's no point in getting a 98 if you can pass with a 77. you're hurting yourself. I want to go back to something that we haven't talked about for a little while, but it relates to this. And it was the stages of learning. I don't know that we all remember this so perfectly. This is Lev Vygotsky. And he was a Russian education theorist. And he said that when we learn something, and a lot of you know that I'm playing the French horn, that learning isn't binary. It's not either you can do something or you can't. So none of us, with regard to accepting the things that we cannot change, it's not that none of us, that we can't do it or that we do it perfectly. We're probably in between. Here's any skill we want to learn. We start out at not being able to do it, that you just have no ability to do the thing. Five is you can do it fluidly without thinking. And the example I usually give for that one is driving. I'm going to assume for most people who are listening, who are that you can drive without having to think about it. You just get in the car. You don't even think about where you put the keys, or if you put, you do it. You don't have to think. That's mastery. And with regard to acceptance, I don't think any of us are quite at here, but here are the steps in between.
Are we drinking?
It depends if you're in the passenger seat.
No, you have fluid. As a five.
Okay. I'm gonna have I gotta add a laugh track in here. Let me go through two, three, and four.
It's a tough crowd. It's a tough crowd today.
It's all good.
That's what we need
to be trying to help you out.
I think of it as this is just the exam that I have. This is what the universe is throwing at me.
It's very fluid.
So step two in learning is, and this is me at the French horn. I got to meet my French horn teacher. She came over and we had an outdoor lesson for the first time yesterday. And I got to learn things that I didn't know because this is the first time we were in person. But so level two is that somebody is pretty much telling, she finally, because we're in person for the first time, told me she could show me where to put my hand inside the bell. So step two is where somebody is it's active instruction. They have to tell you everything because you can't do it without their help. Stage three, because she could say after she showed me actively how to do it, she could say, hey, Brian, remember about your hands. So you're getting a hint from the outside. And that's sort of what this service is about, is we're helping each other with our spiritual lives by getting hints from the outside, the ideas that come up here. Stage four is where you hint yourself. So with regard to acceptance, you go, oh, yeah, wait, before I have to deal with that issue, what was that Byron Katie quote again? And you tell yourself the thing you need to learn on your way to being able to do it well. Five stages towards learning, towards mastery of anything. Again, this is by Vygotsky. All of us, our goal is to get here with regard to acceptance. Sometimes we need to have our dear friends tell us, hey, Brian, let it go. There's nothing you can do about it. There are some times where I can remind myself, Brian, let it go. And the nefarious thing about all of these stages, nefarious is too strong a word. I don't know how to go back on a word, is that when we are stressed, we fall down a stage. When we are stressed, we fall down a stage, which is why when you went to take an exam, as soon as you sit down to take the exam, you forget everything that you knew you knew. Because you were only at this stage at being able to hint yourself. You sit at the exam and now all of a sudden you're blank. You can't do it without help from the outside. Or you're driving and you get into a near accident and it's really stressful, or it's raining and it's a downpour and you start talking to yourself about how to deal with something. Or life throws a ratchet at you and you no longer can hint yourself. That's why you have to call on a friend. But if you're at this stage of calling on a friend, then you're going to have to go and get some serious outside help. Okay.
Can I say something?
Felt didactic, but yummy. Yes, Michael.
Just one thing. I noticed that there's a bridge typically between 4 and 5 and 2 and 3, but no precedent to 1, so to speak. And so I'm wondering if beginning with no belief in no ability may be just a belief that you shouldn't be able to learn, or you can't.
Right.
You've convinced yourself that you can't learn somehow.
And then you're never going to go anywhere.
Well, that's it. But I'm saying, so there's no, one, stage one is interesting.
You have to at least know psychological... something. Yeah. We could say that either there might be a pre-stage that you don't even think it's possible.
Right. There's a should, perhaps, there. Or I shouldn't want to learn at this stage.
I'll say this with regard to accepting all the things that are unresolved in our heart. There are other human beings who have lived who are able to do it. And if that's true, why can't you? Why can't I? Mm-hmm. That we should all be able to do these things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, we have homework. We did some good learning here. I'm going to make some announcements. Hold on. I have a button here that I wanted to push to move us towards announcements. That's not it, but this is really cool. I thought that was neat, but that's not what I wanted to do. Shoot. Here are my announcements. Announcements go like this. I'm just going to tell them to you. I don't like that at all. It just feels too slick, and I'm not enjoying that right this moment.
But we need a little music.
No? All right, here we go. I put this together. It made me happy. I think all of you already get the newsletter, so that's fantastic.
It's an excellent newsletter, by the way.
Yeah.
You are all welcome to join me to meditate. And if you like what you see, and I hope that you do, consider this the part where I pass a basket around and I ask you to help. Could you hear me while that was going? I don't know how the technology goes. Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
So, if you want, every day I'm meditating up on Facebook. On Monday, I do a 5-minute meditation. If you've never meditated before, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On Tuesday, we move it up to 7 minutes. Wednesday's 10 minutes. Thursday's 15 minutes, and then Friday's 20 minutes. Nobody's required to do all of the minutes. If you can, oh boy, technology, hold on. Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, there they are. Please feel free to join me any day of the week on Facebook. It's a live stream or on YouTube. I'd love to teach you how to, it seems like a silly thing to teach people to do, but just to sit and not do. That's my goal.
Rabbi Brian, can I say one thing?
Yes, Amy.
Because even though you're live streaming it, because those of us who work or have a set schedule,
yeah,
you can also find it later in the day,
yeah,
and do it then, because I can't do it at 2 o'clock, but when my quote planning period comes, trust me, I'm looking for it and I'm doing it then.
Yeah. And thank you, Amy. I appreciate that. And I've now started to refer to the meditation as unguided meditation. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to encourage you to sit where you are and to just be. And it's much harder than people think. And it's I think, an very important hard skill to have. A few announcements. After services today, we're going to be having Clubhouse. And I want to thank Joe and Alex for making that happen. And our Clubhouse, the way this works is after the service is over in about 10 minutes, you're all welcome to stay. And hopefully Alex should be able to assign people to the two different clubhouses. And Meg, can you say hi? Oh, she's muted right now. And Kip. Kip and Meg will be clubhouse leaders. And the idea is just like at a regular service where you would go afterwards and have cookies and talk with other people. Meg and Kip are going to be in different clubhouses and for people to be able to join and just to talk about acceptance, to talk about any of the themes that we talked about today.
So is poor Alex going to get to join one, or does she have to stay?
Well, so then there's also the main room. So Alex and Joe are going to be in the main room. Joe, say hi. There's Joe. So they'll be able to schmooze with everyone as well. Some other announcements. My friend Tony, next week I am unable to be here for the service. And my friend Tony, who's run a service in the past, is going to be running the service next week. And also because we all had taken a talk about it and have said, well, Rabbi, if you do the newsletter 40 out of 52 weeks a year, you deserve a week off at the end of the month. So at the last service of the month, from here on, my dear friend Tony, Reverend Tony, is going to be filling in for me. And I could not be more thrilled. I can't think of anyone else who I would have do this than her. Other announcements. Oh, yeah. Here was the other announcement. If anyone wants to join on... There it is. Nope. Dang it. My technology is not happening today. There it is. On Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, if you want to join for office hours, drop-in time, we always have a good time. And a lot of people who are here show up to that. It's this exact same link, so I will be there at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesdays. Other announcements people want to make? Have? I don't know. Did you just publish a book and you want to tell everyone about it? Something like that? No? Okay. Fantastic. We're going to move along to what is one of my favorite things to do. And it is called this. And here's the song that goes along with it.
Oh, what I like about you.
Mm-hmm. Hey! Uh-huh. The idea here. Hey! Make that lower. The game is called What I Like About You. And you don't have to use the words from the song, but I was talking to people again, and realizing that one of the biggest problems that we all have is that we get confused and we think we are our political views, we think we are our abilities, and we forget that the most important thing we are is we are just being, and that we're in relation to other people. And so that being said, I'm going to... I was going to do this in small groups. I don't really know how to do this in a large group, but I'm going to try it like this. I'm going to just do four or five of these. And I'm going to ask so that it doesn't seem like a setup. But again, I've done this before. Who's feeling in need of a little bit of... This is going to... Okay, I'm going to ask you to be a little extra vulnerable today. Give me a little show of hands if you're in need of a little extra loving today and you would like to hear a certain rabbi talk to you and tell you what I like about you. I'm going to go with Carol because I saw her hand first. Carol Clausen Williams, what I like about you is you're fierce, lady. I don't want to get on your bad side at all. And you're also, not only are you fierce like that, but you're fierce in your looking for truth, and I know that you will not rest until you find it. I got a thumbs up, so that feels like that was a good one. Let me try for three more. Who else? Ricky, my friend, what I like about you is you are insanely curious, dude, and you have such an appetite for learning. It inspires me, and you send me wonderful things to read. Please don't everyone send me things to read that. But the thing you sent me about happiness, dude, that like, and the about the who else knew about the secret Jews of Puerto Rico? I didn't know about that. I love your curiosity, Ricky. That's what I like about you. I'll take two more. Amy, my cousin Amy, so nepotism. We're going to go here. Amy, what I like about you is despite the shit, you insist on having a sunny attitude. And I think that is just inspiring. Because I know, like, life keeps going like, bam, bam, bam. And you keep going, all right, I'll deal with it. I like that about you. I think I got one more. Sherry Sirak. Well, you got a little bit of that resilience in you, too. But what I like about you, I like your loyalty. You are dedicated. You're the kind of person who I know that I could call on and say, Sherry, I need this favor. And you'd say, I'll do it. And I've seen through years of how dedicated and devoted you are to those you love. I like that about you. Here's going to be the homework. Forget all the other homework I gave you. Except for the people who have to move by next week. That you still have to do. Here's the homework I'd like you to do. Tonight, if you're eating alone, you're gonna make a phone call, or you're going to do this by text to people. But if you're eating with people, at dinner time, you're going to say, I did the Saturday service today, and Rabbi Brian told me I had to do this. And you're going to tell the people you're having dinner with three things that you like about them. You can start the sentence, what I like about you is, fill in the blank. What I like about you is, fill in the blank. And what I like about you is, fill in the blank. And if you're having dinner with more than one person, you got to tell each of those people three things that you like about them. If you're eating alone, get on the text and just text people who you love and say, hey, I just wanted you to know. Something I like about you is blank. Something I like about you is blank. Something I like about you is blank. Any situation where we need clarification on how to get this homework to be done?
What about doing that to yourself?
Yeah.
All right. Those of you who want extra credit. I love that idea, Bob. When you go around, tell everyone what you like about them and then include you. And I'll tell you, from having done this a lot of times, that people will often reciprocate. And then they'll say, oh, I want to turn. There's nothing I like better than when it's my turn and people are telling me what they like about me. Everybody ready?
So is there homework?
That's your homework.
No, is there a quiz? No. Is there a quiz? How do you know we've done it? And is it for a grade?
I know you've done it. I just trust you all. It's you're all passing. There's no grade. How do I know you've done it? I think it's like the acceptance thing. And like the thing with Jonah, that the more you put it off, the harder it is. More like the Rilke, the more you, just when you do it, it's for your own good. So I don't know. Don't do it. I don't care. And I wanted to share something. I had a conversation with my friend Al yesterday, and we came up with a quote, and I want to test it out with you guys. Well, he said, religion outside the box, and my mission here is really to encourage you all to take your spiritual life more seriously and less so. Isn't that a nice phrase? So, Al, thank you for helping with that. We're hitting 9 o'clock right now. I'm going to say goodbye and wave off, and then I'm going to put Alex in charge of the meeting. And I don't know if the Fakakta clubhouse rooms are going to work, We're going to find out how that happens in a moment. But I'm going to sign off. You're going to see my dear friend Tony next week. And I send you all love. Unmute yourselves and send out some love.
Love you. Love you all.
Thank you.
Thank all of you. Bye. You're special.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Lauren.